Combine's over. Let's just talk a little bit about how it went down, shall we? Some people say the Combine's boring, some people just refuse to watch it, some people watch every single minute of it. I'm one of those guys who's in that middle somewhere. I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing what these guys can do out there. It's an honor to get invited to this. I mean, they don't just bring in everybody. You know, Adam Thielen, he was in the booth there on Saturday. He didn't even get invited to the Combine. This is his first one he's ever at. So it's an honor to go there. And seeing all the talent on the field, my gosh. Loads of talent. I mean, just loaded with speed at the wide receiver position. We're going to talk Combine, and we're going to talk hot, warm, and cold. But first, we got a little taste over the last couple of days of some free agency. We're going to talk a little bit of that right quick.
Here's what we know.
Biggest breaking news coming out yesterday out of New Orleans. Derek Carr is officially a Saint. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $105 million. A lot of money. A lot of money. So, I think we've probably seen the last of Jameis Winston in a Saints uniform. What's that mean for him? Well, I hate to say this. I would love to see him go somewhere where he could start. Maybe start ahead of one of these rookies that's coming in. You know, Houston. Maybe playing him in a dome. You know, I don't know if he's going to be any good there. There's not a whole lot to throw to. The running backs, to be determined. That's just a thought that popped into my head. I would love to see him go somewhere and be a starter and groom a quarterback. Not that he's the world's best grooming quarterback ever was. But if a quarterback goes and lands there, not really ready for NFL life starting as a quarterback yet, you know, maybe they struggle with a season with Jameis Winston until a youngster can come in and take the reins. I don't see that happening because I think Houston will draft one of the top-tier quarterbacks, and that'll take care of that. You're not going to draft one of them top-tier quarterbacks and not play him day one. It's just not the way the NFL's built anymore. Jameis Winston could probably go someplace and be a very solid backup. But I'm not so sure Jameis Winston's 100% healthy. I don't know all the ins and outs. I think there's some injuries there and maybe some stuff that's just not going to heal. In which case, maybe the end is near for the former Florida State national champion, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, first overall pick in the NFL draft. We could be seeing his days numbered. I've never been a huge Jameis fan. Many of you who are listening to this for the first time might find that as a surprise. I've never been a huge Jameis fan. I made a list of my 50 favorite Florida State athletes to ever play there. He didn't make the cut in my top 50. And this was a Heisman Trophy winning national championship quarterback. Did not make my top 50. But I've always rooted for him because he did go to Florida State. You know, he bled garnet and gold, and I appreciate all that he did for that school, but just didn't make my cut at the top 50. But I am curious to see where it does happen now. See where he goes. Probably going to be what they call a cap casualty is what Ian Rappaport was calling it on Twitter yesterday, since brought in Derek Carr. I also think maybe we've seen the Taysom Hill gadget quarterbacking going to come to an end. Be interesting to see what they do with Taysom Hill there. The future looks very good for Chris Olave. And I also think that maybe, just maybe, Adam Trautman has a, I'm not saying a bump, but his stock didn't go down. I think that maybe Adam Trautman going into his, this will be his third year, if I believe, out of the University of Dayton, could be a viable option as a tight end two, if you play in stupid tight end two tight end leagues, or a decent flex option on a bye week or something. Michael Thomas tweeting out, "Thank you, God," or whatever. Michael Thomas is beyond has been, in my opinion. He is beyond even considering in any fantasy format. I don't care if you're starting a rebuild or you're taking over an orphan team. I don't want that guy on my team. Not any part of it. Not just that he's a bad teammate and he only plays half the time. He's always hurt. I just, no thanks. No part of me wants any part of Michael Thomas and any part of football, NFL, fantasy, or otherwise. So you can thank Jesus all you want. You think it's a quarterback problem? No, dude, you're the problem. I don't like Michael Thomas. I never have. I think he's a has-been that never was. Geno Smith last night re-signed in Seattle. This is big-time news. Okay, 32 years old, if I'm not mistaken, 3 years. Maybe he's the one that got $105 million, I can't remember. But this is big news if you have any shares of Geno Smith in a two-quarterback or superflex league where you're really leaning on him and hope that this happened. This is big news. Okay, he still gets to throw to DK. He still gets to throw to Tyler Lockett. Okay, you're coming into a second year with Kenneth Walker. This is good news. This is good news not only for Seattle fans out on the West Coast, Seahawks, believers, the 12th man, fantasy enthusiasts. This is good news, people. Okay, now, not that I think he's going to be there for 3 years. Okay, because to me, Seattle is one of those teams that could take one of these second-tier quarterbacks in later rounds and maybe groom those. Maybe a Max Duggan. If it works out that way. Okay? Stetson Bennett, who had a very decent combine, looked very good, threw the ball deeper than I thought he could with accuracy, and he threw the ball well. Stetson Bennett going there, sitting behind him, learning Pete Carroll's system for a couple of years. You've seen stranger things. So the NFL draft that comes up in April is going to really put a lot of these pieces of the puzzle together for us, because we're going to finally get some clarity on who's going to be hot and who's going to slide down fantasy draft boards. You know, once we start our drafts. Very intriguing to see what Seattle does for the backup quarterback position. Looking forward to that. Super pumped that Geno Smith got re-signed there. That really helps a lot of fantasy owners who were really hoping that they was to give him a shot and to get one more year out of him in fantasy. We had some franchise tags come down yesterday at the deadline that I think are worth noting. Dallas used their franchise tag on Tony Pollard. 1 year, $10 million and some change. Breaking news at 3 o'clock today, Lamar Jackson has been franchise tagged by the Baltimore Ravens. Josh Jacobs franchise tagged for the Raiders. Evan Ingram franchise tagged by the Jags, and I love that. Now, these guys do have to sign their franchise tender. They have an X amount of time to do that. If they don't sign their franchise tender, then it can hold out. Then it gets ugly. We just hope these guys sign their tender and they play that year on the franchise tag. Look, Kirk Cousins made a fortune playing on the franchise tag when he was in Washington. They just kept franchise tagging him. He just kept cashing the checks. It's not a bad thing. To me, it's a good thing because now you've getting your Tony Pollard, you get $10 million this year on a one-year deal. Okay, that's a stopgap for Zeke to get rid of him. And then you bring somebody else in to take the banger role, and Pollard is your guy who keeps doing what he's been doing for the next five seasons. Lamar Jackson, that is a little bit of a question mark to me. Okay, it's different. Each person's a little bit different. To me, Pollard, it's a good thing. For me, Jackson, it's a stopgap. Well, we're going to give you a one-year franchise tag, and you better put up results, and you better stay healthy because we need you on the field, not hurt. He wasn't bad this year. He just got hurt, banged up, and he wasn't what he was a couple of years ago. Josh Jacobs, to me, is another one that's writing on the wall. This is your year to show us what you've got. You know, maybe we bring you back on a big-time deal later on. Maybe they bring him back on a bigger deal before, you know, the franchise tag expires. You can sign him to a long-term deal. Evan Ingram, to me, is a great one. Okay, he had his time with the Giants. He's had a few years in the league. Maybe he's just now starting to blossom. You're coming onto a team that was really, really good last year and is going to be very good this year. Better quarterback, second year in the system. Evan Ingram really showed out. He needs to stay healthy. And if he balls out, he's going to get a big deal. So it's specific for each one of these guys. Be interesting to see what Lamar Jackson does. I don't see him holding out. But if he does, it's really going to affect a lot of things. I'm not so sure he's got the greatest receivers in the world. Okay, his running back room's getting better. I hope Rashad Bateman can come back and stay healthy because that's going to help his wide receivers. And that's going to help his play. Okay, because what we've learned is that just because you're a fast quarterback doesn't mean you're a fantastic quarterback. He's very fast, very athletic. We knew all this already. I want to talk about another quarterback in the combine this week that has a lot of those same definitions. It should give these guys a little bit of peace, knowing that they've got some money coming in, but they do have to show out and they have to play well. For me, Tony Pollard's a stopgap. Lamar Jackson, it's a show me kind of thing. Josh Jacobs, show me thing. Evan Ingram, you've been around a minute. We need to see if last year was a fluke. We're going to pay you one more time, show us again, and then maybe you can get a multi-year deal, you know, and finish out your career, you know, in Jacksonville. Franchise tag isn't always a bad thing. Some people look at it as, oh my gosh, I just franchise tagged this guy for whatever. No, it could be good. It could be bad, but it's not always bad. Okay, Sunday afternoon, we finished up the NFL Combine, and I'm going to be the first to tell you I did not watch the first couple days because they were snooze fests. Okay, I had no interest in watching those D-linemen run around on those little doofy drills that, you know, they move back and forth 7 or 8 feet, and I just couldn't get behind that. The real action for me took off on Saturday when the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends took the field, and then Sunday when the running backs wrapped it up. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. We'll get to IDP later on in the season before we even start talking about, you know, our fantasy drafts and stuff like that, because there were some IDP names to note and to make note of. But this, we're playing fantasy, okay? Our offense, in most cases, win us games. Defense just puts us over the top in IDP. And I got three categories. I got hot, warm, and cold for some players that I want to touch on a little bit this evening that showed out or just kind of ran lukewarm at the combine, or ran a little colder than they needed to, or maybe just let you down a little bit more than you thought that they would. Numerous wide receivers, and I'm not going to get into them all that tonight, that all ran 4.4 in the 4.4s. I mean, we had some seriously fast wide receivers come out. Notably, some guys that really were on radars and stuff like that, but maybe not at the top end. Matt Landers out of Arkansas ran a 4.37 40. And I did not know that Matt Landers was that fast. And when he ran those 40s, I'm like, that kid can fly. Jumped up a bunch of draft boards and rose his draft stock immensely just by running fast. Okay, now if you're a fast running back, I have a whole different outlook on you. But you have to be a fast wide receiver. If you're big and fast, that's even better. But you have to be fast, you have to be quick, and you have to be, you know, able to get around and away from corners and safeties and such. So you have to have some speed behind it. Even guys that ran in the 4.5s, that's still fast. That's still fast. I mean, I can't run in the 4.5s. Never could. But these guys that are running in the 4.3s, Trey Palmer from Nebraska, 4.33. Matt Landers, 4.37. Jalen Hyatt ran a 4.4. Now that to me was a little slower than I thought. I thought he'd run in the 4.3s. With all that speed he has, maybe he's faster on the football field. Okay, my stock in Jalen Hyatt did not drop at all. I don't know that it rose, but it probably stayed about right where it was. I'm not putting these guys in my hot, warm, and cold category. I'm just telling you people, there was some fast wide receivers at this year's combine. And you're going to be able to pick these guys up in later rounds. Not only in redraft, but in dynasty leagues as well. Because the quarterbacks are going to fly off the shelf. The running backs are going to fly off the shelf. And then the wide receivers are going to take off. Because if it's anything that I know, is that quarterback drives your league, even if you are a one quarterback league. You have to have a good quarterback. Two quarterbacks and super flex is even more imperative to get good quarterbacks. So in dynasties, they're going to fly off the and the draft is going to make it even more so, because landing spot is going to dictate a bunch. We'll start at the top with Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. We both knew these guys were the elite two running backs in this class. Okay? Bijan ran a 4.46, checked off all the boxes, ran just about as smooth as you've ever seen a guy run. To me, I'm not sure. I think Barkley ran a little bit faster than Saquon, if I remember right. But as far as combine goes and what I've seen on the field, and I watched a lot of Texas games because, for one, I like Texas, and two, I had a lot of shares of Bijan, not only in Devy, but College to Canton. So I was invested in the Longhorns program. I like what I've seen from him on the field ahead of Saquon Barkley. Now, people might think I'm out of my crazy mind, but that's just me. I saw a trade on Twitter where a guy traded away a bunch of cannon fodder and was able to land the 101 and Saquon Barkley. They gave up Zeke, gave up Antonio Gibson, a couple IDP guys. I'm like, you won that trade. That's a win. You got Saquon and you're going to land Bijan? Chew, dude. That's good. Don't know what the rest of his team looks like, but he won that trade, you know, just from what I'm looking at. Jahmyr Gibbs, 4.36. Faster than I thought. A little bigger than I thought. Okay? Ran well. Caught the ball well. You know, nothing but stock up for both those guys. These guys didn't hit my hot, warm, or cold list. These are the guys that we knew was going to show up and show out. And they did. They didn't disappoint. These guys are the head of the class. If you're tiering running backs, which I may do later on after the NFL draft, it's Bijan, Gibbs, and then there's a tier break. Okay? The one guy who I want to talk about first as far as hot, warm, and cold. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to blend the these first two guys. I want to talk about the elephant in the room first, and I'm going to blend him in with the guy I got in the cold or the hot. One of my cold guys is Anthony Richardson. And you probably just wrecked your car or spilled your pop or whatever you was doing. Look, we all knew he was a big dude. We all knew he was a fast dude. Okay, didn't necessarily know he could jump out of the gym. But we all knew he was a phenomenal athlete. That wasn't in question. We all knew he was going to test well. Blow the numbers out the water. 4.43 for a quarterback his size is just insane. Okay? Look, to me, I've been saying this on social media, and people are probably looking at me like I'm crazy. I don't care. To me, he's fool's gold. Okay? Don't go all in on Anthony Richardson, because I've seen the dude play at the college level. Okay, sure, he threw the ball like crazy against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt beat Florida. Vanderbilt beat Florida. Was it Anthony Richardson's fault? He threw a bunch of yards, but, I mean, still lost the game. Vanderbilt. Okay? Guaranteed victory against my beloved Noles. How'd that work out? Florida State wins. Okay? Didn't play bad. Didn't play spectacularly good in that game. And how do I judge quarterbacks? If you're a devout listener of this podcast, you know how I rank quarterbacks as how they play in big games. They lost the game. Florida State beat them. That's a big game. Huge rivalry. One of the top rivalry in college football, in my opinion. That's obviously biased. But I'm not buying in yet, okay, because I've seen the guy break down. I've seen him have meltdowns on the field in college football, okay, and not play well. He hasn't played enough football for me to say, yeah, he's legit. Sure, he's an athlete. Can he play the game? To be determined. Don't go all in on Anthony Richardson. Let him come to you if that's what you're thinking, and if he's a guy you have to have, that's great too. But to me, I'm not all in on him. I wasn't in on Cam Newton. Cam Newton was okay, in my opinion. He was good, not great. Is he Hall of Famer? Hell no. If we're looking at all the quarterbacks in a group, and we're looking at, okay, we knew Will Levis was going to throw the ball like crazy because he's got a rocket for an arm. We knew Anthony Richardson was going to test well. But I didn't know C.J. Stroud was going to show out like he did Saturday afternoon. And he's one of my hots. He's my first hot on this podcast. If you take all these guys, okay, and I don't think any of them particularly hurt themselves this weekend. I think they all helped themselves, except for Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young hurt himself by not participating. He showed up. We all knew he was short. We all knew he was little. So, I mean, that was a given. Well, dude, you're 5'10". You need to throw. He's saving it for his pro day. Why even go? Why accept the invitation to the combine if you're not going to throw? He wasn't hurt. He wasn't beat up or anything. And if he was, I didn't get those reports. I think it's silly to go there and just not do those things. Okay, you need to throw. Don't run if you don't want to. I guess that's okay. But, I mean, you should at least throw. Because, dude, your size is already in question. You think your pro day is going to help you? This would have helped you. And your pro day would have helped you. You need both, dude. You need all the stuff you can get right now. It's my opinion. I think he should have threw. I think he's the only quarterback that really hurt himself. But C.J. Stroud, to me, if you're taking all these quarterbacks and you're trying to figure out the best one that we saw this weekend, to me, it's Stroud. And that does hurt. That hurts saying it like he's a Buckeye. And that makes the acid reflex in my chest flare up. But he looked really good. Smooth, accurate. I mean, just... the moment wasn't too big for him. Of course, it's the combine, whatever. But this is your job interview, bro. And he showed up and he knocked it out of the park. And I think he did fine. To me, he's the hottest quarterback that I've seen. And there was a bunch of good ones. I mean, I'm not knocking any of them. Next guy on my hot list, Chris Brown, running back from Illinois. There was some negative talk about him on social media after the holiday or the Senior Bowl or whatever, Reese's All-American Bowl, whatever bowl he played in. Said he wasn't catching the ball good, pass protection was a problem, wasn't running great. He ran a 4.43. Okay, caught the ball well out of the backfield. You can work on pass protection, because if you weren't pass protecting at Illinois, you're not going to know how to do it. Okay, he really helped himself this weekend, I think. His stock is up. I think he's a hot guy on my list. And it's a little bit of a refreshing bit of news, because I have him in one of my Devy leagues. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe he'll get it in a year or two. You know, maybe now he'll get it by the middle of the year or year, you know, going into year two. Don't know. Landing spot for all these guys is going to change a lot of stuff. But what we looked at this weekend is what we're basing right now. And to me, Chris Brown, stock up, and he's a hot player at the combine. Keaton Mitchell, running back, Eastern Carolina, 4.37, blazed the 40. I think that's the second fastest 40 out of the running backs. Only helps his stock. And I've said this before, we don't see too many 60, 70-yard breakaway touchdown runs anymore. They just don't happen. So if you do, on rare occasion, turn those into long runs, that's fantastic. What we need to see from him now is, can you do it in small spaces and in bursts and in 8, 10, 15-yard gains? You can do that, young Keaton Mitchell, and you'll find yourself a career at the NFL level. But the speed caught everybody's eye, and it can't be denied, because speed kills and speed draws us in. But, you know, the long touchdown runs and stuff, they do happen very seldom. That's why the 40 times for me aren't the be-all, end-all as at the running back position. Wide receiver, it has to help, like I said earlier, because you have to be fast as a receiver to get away from corners and safeties and such. Keaton Mitchell's my other hot guy, 4.37. That is fast, very fast for the NFL, and I cannot wait to see where he goes, because he could be, you know, in the mix. You know, we're using 2-3 backs a lot in the NFL these days. He could find himself a role as a number two or something, depending on landing spot. My warm guy, I got four guys here that I've warmed up to. And the first one is Will Levis. Okay, we all knew he was going to throw the ball well. We all knew that, okay? I didn't realize the specimen of a man that he is. He is a very well-built young man. He is built good enough to play the quarterback position at the NFL. Not to mention the arm. Okay, he had a few really good years at Kentucky, an SEC school. Some would argue the best conference in college. Not this guy, but some would. I'm never going to give him that kind of credit. They may be the best. I'll never admit it. Stock up for me on Will Levis, because I was a little bit of to be determined with him. Okay, because there were some games where I'm like, he was good. He should have played better. And then there's games where you look at the stats and you're like, holy crap, he threw the ball for 500 yards and they lost by 1 point. But I've warmed up to him. I can't say that I was really fully on board. I'll be curious to see. To me, I'm taking him over Anthony Richardson right now. Be interesting to see where he goes. If he is the second quarterback off the board, because he very well could be QB2 if Stroud's number one. Jacob Copeland, out of Maryland, former Gator. I know, I get it. 4.42, big kid, big, strong frame. Okay, he ran a 4.42, and it looked easy for him. Okay, didn't work out for him at Florida. He transfers to Maryland and has, you know, a really productive season last year for the Terps. He ran well. He caught the ball well. He moves well. A lot of these bigger guys that are bigger framed, muscular guys, and I even said this about DK Metcalf back when he was coming out, they run, they're not very fluid when they run. They're not very poetic is a good word, you know, fluid. To me, DK ran almost like he was mechanical. Copeland did not. Copeland ran like he was smooth for him, and it didn't look like it was hurting him, you know, to run that fast. And that's going to translate into the NFL. Because if you're comfortable and you're able to move well and you run well and you're big like he's a very solid young man, he's going to have a future in the NFL, barring, you know, some rough energy or some rough injuries. Next guy on my warm list, Devon Achane. And look, I can't say enough good stuff about Devon Achane. His size, obviously, is a question mark for me. It's a concern. But you can't deny 4.32 speed. 4.32 speed is going to get you on the field, and they verified it at 4.32. But when he ran his second time, they said we may have to verify that he may be in the 4.29s. His speed cannot be denied. Okay, his size is an issue. He plays bigger than he is, if you ask me. And I've watched a good bit of A&M because I had, you know, a vested interest in Devon Achane in my College to Canton league. So the way that he moves in traffic and the way that he does certain things and the way he's able to dictate, you know, the line of scrimmage, the way that he does, it's very special. It's very unique. And I don't know that he could be any bigger and do those things. He's not going to be a three-down back. That, to me, is pretty much obvious. If he's a three-down back, I'll be the first guy to be happy for him. Be a little shocked, but I'll be happy. He's going to have to go somewhere where he can be that number two, like a Tony Pollard, and make things happen. Because I think he's going to be fantasy relevant, even with his size being what it is. And you may say, well, you don't like Deuce Vaughn. I don't. Deuce Vaughn's smaller than that dude. I don't like Deuce Vaughn at the NFL level on any phase, offense or special teams. But I think Devon Achane, with that speed and the way that he can do things, will find himself a role at the college level. I don't know what it is, but I can't wait to see where he goes. With all these guys, you're like, you can't wait now to see what happens, because where they go is going to dictate a lot. You can be, oh man, he went to Atlanta in a dome? Oh yeah, I would love to see that happen. Roschon Johnson's my other guy, and I've been tooting Roschon's horn for about a year or so. 4.58, bigger guy. He ran in the 4.5s. That's still going to hunt. That dog's still going to hunt in the NFL because he can do a lot of stuff. He can catch the ball. He can play running back. He's big enough to move into the slot. And he's got enough athleticism to do multiple things. And he was even running with a broken hand. I don't know that he did many drills, but he ran the 40. So if he's getting a little bit better at his pro day, he may run a little faster at his pro day. I don't know. I think both times he ran were both around 4.5. So he may be a 4.5 guy, but still, 4.5 with what he can do at the NFL is great, and I would love to see him land somewhere where he gets opportunity early, like training camp kind of early, to make a mark on a team. Because I think he's really good, and I've got him in a couple of places, and I'm really looking forward to what he can do for a team. Okay, I got a couple of guys' names that are cold here. I talked about Anthony Richardson. It's not that I'm cold on Anthony Richardson. I'm just not warm or hot. So there was only one other category to put him in. Okay, I think he's fool's gold. I just don't know what. I don't know. It's going to be determined for me. And you can say, well, maybe it's just because you hate the Gators. It's very possible. It's very possible that it's that, but you tell me when the last Gator quarterback that came out of college and was any good in the NFL. Because I'll wait here for a second and see if I can think of one. Nope. And don't give me any of that Tebow crap either, because that dog won't hunt. Okay, he was great in college. One of the best college quarterbacks to ever play the game. I'll give you that. One of the greatest human beings on the face of the earth. I'll give you that. Not an NFL quarterback. Okay, so don't give me that Tebow crap. So Florida's not really good at putting quarterbacks in the NFL. You'd say Danny Werfel? Nah, not great. I don't think he was great in college. So, you know, they're not known for just putting out NFL talent out of the University of Florida. Thank goodness. Kayshon Boutte. He ran a 4.5. Okay, maybe he runs a little bit faster at his pro day. I don't want to see it. If you go back to last year, FSU-LSU, game two, okay, Kayshon was whining on the field because he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. He wasn't getting the ball thrown to him because FSU was all over the quarterback for the majority of that game. Kayshon was running wide open on several different occasions, but the FSU defense wouldn't allow Daniels to get the ball to him. He whined and cried. That kind of set the tone for his season. Got a little banged up. Came back, finished okay. Okay, my stock on Kayshon Boutte has dropped. He's cold for me. The 4.5 is whatever. I mean, you can play with 4.5 speed in the NFL. He looks like he plays a little bit faster. I'm a little out on him right now. I don't know that my mind's going to get changed. I'm not so sure that he doesn't have a little bit of a diva issue. I need to see more, but to me, he's a cold play, and I'm not excited as I was for him 2 years ago. You know, after the Jeffersons and the Chases and stuff left, and it was his show. That year was good, and then after that, not so much. A little bit of quarterback issue, sure, and then you fire old Ed Orgeron. You go through a quarterback change, coaching change. I still factor all that in, and I'm still not impressed with Kayshon Boutte. That's the end of my list. I want to talk about one other guy who is considered maybe the top two or three wide receivers out there. Well, two guys, actually, my bad. Jackson Smith and Jigba and Jordan Addison. Okay, arguably maybe the top two or three wide receivers coming out. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be just fine. He came back from the injury. He looked good. He looked fine running the routes, running the gauntlet and stuff. I don't have any issues with him as far as injury goes. Jordan Addison, I think he plays better when it's game time. Okay, I don't know that he looked spectacular this weekend, but I don't think he looked like crap either. I'm not scared about Jordan Addison, and, you know, I'm all in if you want to, you know, draft Jackson Smith and Jigba as your number one wide receiver. You're not going to get any argument from me on that as well. A lot of these guys are going to need, you know, some growing pains. You don't just, Ja'Marr Chase just don't fall into your lap. Okay? Doesn't happen. A lot of these guys need the offseason and need the preseason and training camp to get acclimated, and then it may take them 6 or 8 weeks before they're, you know, NFL ready. NFL's a whole different world than college. I mean, you have world-class talent at every single position. Every single one. World-class. And they're not used to that. Even these big-time SEC guys. Not every SEC player is an all-world NFL talent. So we have to make sure that we don't put too much on these kids just yet. Now, we're not going to put anything on them because we're never going to see them. But we can't expect them to just come in and move the earth, because that's asking too much of them. Even if you're Bijan Robinson, one of the most elite running backs I've ever seen to come out, and I'm talking Adrian Peterson, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, any of these guys that's come out, you know, in the last 25 years. He's up there with those guys. Okay, we're going to have to render our expectations a little bit, because he's not going to come out and run for 1,500 yards his first season. I mean, he could, but I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting him to go to a team. He's going to be the number one running back on that team from game one. And the first year, I want to see two things. I want to see him pass protect. I want to see him get used to the system. I want to see him stay injury free. And on top of that, you pack in 800, 900 yards, six or seven touchdowns, that's a win. That's a win. Anything over that, and it's a big time. It's a big deal, big steal for these guys because they've knocked it out of the park. We have to render expectations. These are just young men, unless you're Stetson Bennett, who's going on 30 or whatever. But they're still going to have to acclimate themselves to the NFL level. And don't be surprised when they hit the rookie wall, just around the time fantasy playoffs start, and you're like, oh, crap. This guy who's carried me all season had 10 carries for 15 yards because he's hitting a rookie wall. It is. It's a thing. It's a real thing. They've running backs have said it, coming out of college, big-time running backs who rush for thousands of yards every year in college say it's a thing. It's real. It happens because of why? You're playing with all-world talent on every position, and they are knocking the crap out of you every time you hold the ball in your hand. That's why the shelf life of a running back is so small. We have to really gauge how we're going to put and what we're going to invest in running backs. Because it isn't like it was when I started playing fantasy football where you had one running back and he got 25 to 30 carries every game and he may score three times. Okay, you get that now and it's a bonus and you've won your week. Because now you're splitting carries between two and three guys to keep running backs filtered in, keep them fresh and keep them healthy. It's the world we live in. That's why if you play in PPR or 1.5 PPR, wide receivers and receiving backs win new leagues. And running backs, you know, they need to score, get yardage to be relevant. Our Devy Hitman leagues, 1.5 PPR. Okay, I have my running backs filled up, and all my flex positions are wide receivers. Two catches is 3 points, and you're off and running. So excited about these wide receivers and these running backs, and there were so many more. I'm not going to get to all of them. I've been on here 45 minutes now. I'm not going to get to all of them. But next up, we're going to have Pro Days. Pro Days take off, I think, as soon as this weekend, if I remember hearing somebody's Pro Days coming up real soon. We're going to have Pro Days jumping off, and we're going to have the NFL draft towards the middle to end of April. And then we're really going to ramp up because then what we got? Then we got rookie mini camps. And then we're going to go. Before long, it's going to be hot out, and we're going to be playing football again. That'll do it for me. My name is Chris Strasbourg. You can find the show anywhere you find your podcast. I'm about on every platform there is. Thank you for listening to the Seagat Blitz podcast. Have a great week. Hit me up on Twitter @SeagatBlitz, and we'll see you next time.